In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'm so excited today. I fell last week and did a number on my ankle, so I've got a great big cast on my leg, and I wasn't able to come to church last Sunday, but I got back today, so I'm really pleased that I'm with you. Today is a great day to celebrate because it's the feast day of St. Peter. It's the anniversary of Julie's ordination. It's just a great day. We also have a visitor, Travis, who's come to speak to us about building those homes in Juarez. So it's really a great day to be preaching. And I love St. Peter because he messes up. It makes me feel better to know that there's somebody as important as St. Peter out there who messed up. Remember, he's the one that denied Jesus when he was asked if he knew him. He's the one who started to walk on the water and started sinking. He's the one who said that they should build a tabernacle. And Jesus said, uh-uh. So today is the day that we celebrate that Peter did not mess up. He got it right. When Jesus was saying to people, well, who do people say that I am? When he was saying to the disciples, who do people say that I am? It sounds a little bit like a game of charades. You know, is it John the Baptist? No. Is it, I know. Is it Elijah? No. Is it, wait a minute. Is it Jeremiah? No. Is it one of the prophets? No. But Peter says, you, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. It's fairly rare in the Gospels to hear one of the disciples make that what we call a confession. You're going to be making a confession very shortly after I have finished speaking, so I'll make it quick. You're going to be making a confession about what your faith is. And the confession is going to start with, I believe. The words from the Nicene Creed, or we believe. As I said, there aren't very many places in the Gospel where one of the disciples confesses to who Jesus is. The other one of my most favorite saints is St. Thomas, the doubter. If you remember the story when Jesus had resurrected from the dead and Thomas was not there when the apostles first saw him, and he would not believe it. He was stubborn. I think he was Scottish like me. I think that's where I get my stubbornness from. I've been ordered around all day today by certain clergy persons who shall be unnamed, who have made me sit down when I wanted to stand up. It's good for me. But there was Thomas, who saw Jesus for the first time, and Jesus looked at him and said, so, Thomas, put your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. And then in my imagination, I can imagine Thomas falling to the ground and perhaps kissing Jesus' feet and calling out, my Lord and my God. A confession from Thomas as to who Jesus was. So these are rare incidents and incidents that we should pay attention to. And isn't it interesting that in today's epistle we hear about, from the Acts, that Peter and his friends, Peter and John, are considered uneducated and ordinary men. That bothers me a little bit. From the point of view is that how can they be ordinary if Peter was chosen by Jesus to lead the church? And yet on the other hand, we are ordinary, aren't we? We are ordinary people with ordinary brains and ordinary bodies and ordinary hearts and ordinary ways of thinking. And it wasn't those ordinary ways of thinking that happened that day to Peter. It was an extraordinary thing that happened through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that Peter understood who Jesus was. Who Jesus was. Peter understood for the first time, and it was through that understanding and that knowledge that came from the Holy Spirit that Jesus turned around and said, "You're going to leave my church." And we hear in the Gospel that Jesus says, "This is the rock that I'm going to build on which I'm going to build my church." And make no mistake here, Peter's name means rock. But in Greek and in Latin, from the introit or the antiphon that we heard today, in Greek and Latin, rock, in this case in the Gospel, is Petra, a feminine word, not a masculine word. My understanding of this in Scripture is the rock is our earth. Jesus is saying, on this earth, I will build my church. And the Latin and the Greek for church is another feminine noun, ecclesia. So Jesus is saying to Peter, I am going to build my church on my church, Mother Church, on Mother Earth. So all of you ladies in the congregation who think of Peter as being the rock, let me tell you, you're rockets. We are all rocks on this earth. We are all called to be rocks for Jesus. We are called to be his church, or God's church. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Lately, we've had a lot of emphasis on gender and people's gender. And in the church, we're also looking at the words we use in our prayer book and in our hymns about which words we should use, he or her, his or hers, all of those things. We're coming to think more expansively about who we are as people. I'm excited about that. So, interestingly enough, the image that we often have for St. Peter is of two crossed keys. And if you look around at this church, and don't look around right now because you're supposed to be looking at me, there are images of crossed keys. And I will see, there is a prize for the person who can find the number of images of crossed keys in this church, and they are all around, but you have to look for them. And why do you suppose that the image of St. Peter is cross-keys? If you were paying attention, you would have noticed in the Gospel that Jesus said, I'll give you the keys, for two reasons. Two reasons. It's in the Scripture. What are the two reasons? To bind or to loosen? And I interpret that as to forgive or not to forgive, or to open up or to shut out. And here are my keys. You will notice that they're on a string because I'm now a senior citizen and I have to wear them around my neck, otherwise I lose them, and I don't have one of those fancy devices that will beep at me and tell me where my keys are. And I'd like to tell you about some of my keys. This is the key to my daughter's house. This is the key to my son's house. This is the key to my house. This is the key to my best friend's house. And one of my favorite keys is this key. It's the key to this church. Conrad gave it to me. And it opens the doors to let people in, including me. I really like this key. But what about this key? not a key to a door. This is a key to my car. This is my car key. It allows me to turn on my car and let me go on journeys, and then lets me turn it off when I've got home. It's a very important key to me, and which is why I am so, so grateful that I messed up my left ankle and not my right, which means I can still escape and drive. I want you to think about the keys on your keychain. I want you to think every time you turn on your car key. I want you to think about where you're going, metaphorically that is. Not necessarily that you're going to the supermarket or to the doctor or whatever. Where are you going on your spiritual journey? Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention to where you're going? And then, these keys, the ones that open and shut doors. Are you opening doors to people in your life, or are you keeping them shut? I know that there are some people on Halloween, for example, who decide to shut off all the lights and lock their doors so that the children can't come knocking. That's always bothered me. Why would you shut out little children? Jesus didn't. So I'm asking you, who do you shut out? And whose door do you need to open? Is it your door? The door to your head, or the door to your heart? Or the door actually to your own home? Whose door are you keeping shut or open? Keys are really interesting things when it comes to thinking about how we use them. We have Travis here this morning. He's sitting at the back right now, and he's wounded as well as me. I don't know what he did. But one of the most exciting parts of the Juarez build is the time when the family is given their own key. It means so much. They've never had a key like this before. They get a key to a home that is safe. Safe from the elements, safe from animals, safe. And they get this key because people in this congregation have opened their hearts and their pocketbooks to make it possible. People in this parish have opened their doors, the doors of their hearts, to make it possible. Think about that. Think about that. Because that begins to tell you how we live a life of Christ. Peter confessed his understanding of who Jesus was, and you're all going to do it after this. But interestingly, this Sunday, we have another part of scripture, one of the Psalms, the 23rd Psalm that everyone knows and everyone's familiar with, and you hear it at weddings and you hear it at funerals, and every now and then in the cycle we hear it in church, and today we've got the 23rd Psalm. There is a wonderful confession in the 23rd Psalm. Two sentences. I've told some of you this before, but it bears repeating. The confession in the 23rd Psalm goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. That's it. That's the first sentence. The Lord is my shepherd. And I will say that till the day I die. The Lord is my shepherd. Scroll down to the last sentence. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a confession of faith. Thomas's was, my Lord and my God. Peter's was, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. I wonder what your confession would sound like. Your own personal confession. The one you say in your heart, in private. What does your confession sound like? Some people come up with their own phrases like, Jesus is my God, or I love you, Jesus, or whatever. Think about that. Think about what your confession is. And just circling back to the 23rd Psalm, have you ever thought of using the 23rd Psalm in a slightly different way? Just like my car key is a slightly different kind of key than the other keys on my keychain? Have you ever thought of praying for your friends and your family using that psalm? The Lord is Travis's shepherd as he shepherds the missionaries in Wales. The Lord is Julie's shepherd in thanksgiving for her ordination and her dedication. The Lord is the choir's shepherd. The Lord is my auntie's shepherd. The Lord is my son's shepherd. The Lord is, whose shepherd are you going to put in their name? Think of that as another opening of doors. And heaven knows there are a lot of shut doors out there. The Lord is the president's shepherd. The Lord is our country's shepherd. The Lord is our enemy's shepherd. Think about that. Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. God is here. God is now. God is with us. God is not some faraway concept. God is here. God is now. You have the keys. Amen.